KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails. Took last week off as I was in New York, but I got a chance to see some really cool things in New York with regard to trails. Joining me today, along with Emily Sinkhorn, we've got Sonoma Drone. He's the executive director of the Mattole Salmon Group, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about his personal passion for getting the Hammond Trail extended over the Little River, which could be a bit of a chore, but we'll talk about those challenges and the benefits in seconds. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Cliff.
Indeed. So, I'm a major fan of the Hammond Trail. I'm on the thing a lot with the family. We love it. It's great. We all wished it was a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But, that is something that you're looking at, right?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We're hoping to extend it north. Not hoping. We're going to extend it
yes!
north.
Yes, that's the attitude.
From where it currently ends at Clam Beach over the Little River to connect to the south end of Scenic Drive. And then we'll be kind of interconnecting to all those northern county trails.
Wow. Now, there's some challenges with regard to doing that, right? Especially getting over Little River.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got to do a new bridge there, and we've been talking with Caltrans for probably the last 15 years about trying to make that project happen. And then there'd need to be spur trails on the south side of the river from Crennel Road to the bridge.
Well, what's a spur trail?
Well, a little piece of trail south of the river, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It would be connecting the Hammond Trail, which right now goes to Crennel Road or to Clam Beach. And from there, we need a trail going up to the river. And then on the north side of the river, another trail up to Scenic Drive. So two little pieces of trail plus a bridge makes the whole project happen.
So, you know, what will make that happen?
Well, we've got a meeting coming up here in April with a group we call the Little River Trail Council, which has been meeting over the last 7 to 10 years periodically. And we will be getting together with Caltrans, the county, state parks, Redwood Community Action Agency, the Trinidad Land Trust, and other players to talk about what are the options for the trail, who's going to be able to help fund the next piece of effort, which would be the engineering feasibility analysis, and then who would end up taking over operation and maintenance of the different pieces of trail. So, you know, that those are definitely challenges, but the good news here on this particular piece of trail is that there's no railroad involved.
That's good.
Yeah, so, you know, as we all know, listening to your show over the last several years, the railroad issues are definitely part of what's holding up the Bay Trail and the Annie and Mary and perhaps even the Eel River Canyon Trail. But the Little River Trail and Bridge Project does not involve any railroad issues whatsoever. So,
well, that's certainly good news.
Now, that's a big hurdle to overcome, yeah.
And also to put in context, the Little River Crossing is really one of the greatest bottlenecks along the entire Humboldt Coast. There's only kind of one bridge that is a public access that crosses, and that's 101. And a lot of cyclists, you know, take that bridge to head up towards Trinidad and West Haven, but it is obviously not safe crossing for pedestrians or equestrians. And in the, you know, the most recent Humboldt County Coastal Trail Implementation Strategy effort, we really identified that as one of the key gaps. And one of the, one of the issues that we came up against was, you know, it is only a Caltrans bridge, you know, right now, and it has been recently, you know, that bridge is not that old, and we were also finding that just with the structure itself, you know, a lot of times you can have a cantilever kind of separated bike ped corridor on, you know, the same roadway bridge structure. And thinking about the structural integrity, it you know, Caltrans had said that's probably not feasible for this bridge. And so, you know, and Sonoma over the years has explored a lot of different options, whether that would be a separate non-motorized bridge or whether that would be, you know, if we could find a way to have additional pilings and additional support for that existing bridge structure. And yeah, and also if people have been up there recently, you probably have seen some construction going on because State Parks is implementing their Little River Trail extension through Little River State Beach. And what's really cool is they're, you know, fully formalizing a hiking and equestrian trail that goes right up to the Caltrans corridor and right up to Little River. So they're really planning for that connection.
Yeah, that's great. That is wonderful. Yeah. Now, let's just say that gets done, that that bridge is there. So now, what does it connect to on the other side? I know you're talking about spur trails and whatnot, but you're saying there's a series of trails on the other side.
Yeah, well, initially it would connect to Scenic Drive, which anybody that's driven that in the last few years knows that it's slowly becoming a trail as well. And halfway along Scenic Drive, there's a large creek coming off the Trinidad Terraces called Lufenholz Creek, and there's a box culvert that the creek goes through under Scenic Drive, which has been a barrier to steelhead and cutthroat trout getting home up into the watershed for the last 60 years, maybe longer. And so there's been a lot of efforts by myself and Don Allen at RCAA to try and remove the barrier for fish, and we're thinking that that is probably going to involve removing that box culvert and putting in a bridge structure, possibly just a non-motorized bridge structure, so that Scenic Drive could potentially become, you know, one way in each direction, which would reduce traffic on it. All that through traffic that goes through now would be reduced, and it would become more trail-like. But the erosion occurring along there is desperately or very rapidly converting a road into what's going to become probably a trail. There are also some other trail systems that route around through West Haven and back up to Trinidad. But once you get to Trinidad, then along Scenic Drive, then you interconnect with a lot of state parks trails in Trinidad State Beach and on north up to the Lagoon State Parks and Redwood National Park, and there are a few little bits of missing links up in that system. But basically, you're starting to connect up to all of those northern county parks and their trail systems. So that's what's so exciting about this Little River connection.
Well, that is fantastic. Now, of course, you know, Scenic Drive, there are a lot of homes on Scenic Drive as well, so I can't see that ever just becoming a trail.
Well, actually, if the bridge at Lufenholz became a pedestrian, horse, and hiking bridge, everybody along Scenic Drive can still get to their houses. No problem. It doesn't disconnect anybody's access to their homes at all, not a single home. So that all works out. Additionally, the Rancheria is looking at trying to create a new off-ramp and on-ramp system just south of the Trinidad exit to get into the casino. They want to do a motel and some other things up there. But the bottom line is that new on-ramp, off-ramp system will also add some new components to access for people that currently access their homes off of Scenic Drive.
Okay, good enough.
So we thought that one through. And the other piece that makes Little River Trail Project so exciting is that all of the land required to do this is currently owned by state parks or Caltrans, except for one small parcel on the north side of Little River that is owned by Green Diamond Resource Company, and they are a willing seller. They have basically come to the table and said, we're willing to negotiate and consider a fair market price. And so, you know, when you have a willing seller of a parcel and you own all the other property in public trust, that also makes things very feasible.
Absolutely. It's almost, you know, we just kind of just have to connect the dots at this point.
Absolutely. We need to get the engineering plans done and permitting and then start building this thing.
Wow, that would be fantastic. So when it's all said and done, how much longer would the Hammond Trail be?
Well, this particular connection, I don't know if you know the distance, Emily, or not.
I'm thinking probably...
quarter mile to a half mile.
Yeah, I would say even more than a half mile, half mile to three quarters of a mile.
Yeah.
Thinking from like kind of the Crennel exit.
There you go.
And then up to the kind of dead end of Scenic Drive. But really, it opens up so many more miles.
Absolutely.
I mean, once you get to Scenic Drive, that'll really help connect the communities of West Haven and Trinidad. And, you know, Patrick's Point Drive and Stagecoach Drive north of Trinidad are really relatively low, traffic volume streets. And are really scenic. So that would really open up a lot for, you know, for kind of all user groups.
Wow.
And then, you know, just south of there, either, you know, hikers or equestrians can be along the beach route. And then Clam Beach Drive itself is really, you know, low traffic and has wide shoulders. And, you know, that's a great connection, you know, on-street connection for cyclists because the Hammond Trail comes out right at Clam Beach.
Yeah,
so this would open up a lot.
Wow, that sounds really fantastic. Can we touch a little bit on, real quickly, on rail banking?
Yeah, you bet. Well, as your listeners know who have been catching your show for some time, rail banking has been a subject of many of your talks, and it is, we believe, in the trail community, the prime mechanism for protecting the rail corridor. And I won't go into all those micro details. I think that's been covered before. But as we know, the railroad issues have been keeping the Bay Trail and Annie and Mary Trail from getting built. And I've been investigating a lot of this more recently and was involved starting back in the 1980s in trying to help the Annie and Mary Trail happen when I was on the city council in Blue Lake. And what we've discovered is that it looks like it may very well be an important thing to rail bank the entire line from Willits north, because if we just were to rail bank Annie and Mary, or say the Bay Trail area of the railroad, if a section south of there that is part of the railroad corridor was ever to have any of the easements crossing private land be abandoned, where the landowner requested that easement to be returned to them due to lack of activity or other things, then the rail banked sections north of there, say the Annie and Mary or Bay Trails, would lose their rail bank status. Because in order to qualify for rail banking, you have to be able to be connected to the federal system. So there are many of us that are very concerned about potentially losing this corridor for hopefully rail service sometime out into the future when the economy and or technology gets to the point where we could truly do something positive and environmentally sound through the Eel River Canyon. But as we all know, that's a very difficult task to accomplish with the erosion, the cost that it would require, and the rest of it. So if we don't rail bank that entire corridor from Willits north, we risk losing the options for rail service in the future. And even more importantly, we lose the opportunity to start making trails and developing economic interest and vitality now, which is what many of us are hoping to do.
So now let me ask you this, because it seems to be in the best interest of even train enthusiasts to rail bank, because it's been not used for so long, it really is in danger of getting reabsorbed. Any portion of it, as you mentioned, any portion of it gets reabsorbed, the whole corridor is done at that point. Why do you think there is so much resistance by the North Coast Railroad Authority to rail bank? I mean, it seems to be in their best interest as well.
Well, there's some behind-the-scenes things I don't want to get into on the radio exactly, but there are some players involved with the North Coast Railroad Authority, the Northwest Pacific Railroad lessee, and some political connections there, and their hope to someday make good on developing the Island Mountain Rock Quarry on the south end, as well as hauling gravel out of the Eel River on the north end to be barged out of Humboldt Bay. So there are some individuals that are involved that have these beliefs that someday maybe those things would happen. But the bottom line is that the railroad people that are pushing this whole railroad concept, there's maybe only a half a dozen or so folks pushing it, and they have some political pull, and they've been able to convince people that somehow this railroad might be rebuilt through the canyon. Even though it's been vacated for now 14 years, the amount of money needed to make it a stable rail line is just huge. None of the timber industry is bellying up to try and get that rail open. They're trucking. They've moved on. And so we're trying to say to these folks, well-meaning individuals, but we're saying, let's get a grip on reality here. This is not going to be built anytime soon. And the easements that are owned by private landowners have reversionary clauses that say if you fail to operate for 2 years, you know, the easement can revert. Now, the rail enthusiasts suggest that maybe we could wait up to 20 years before those easements revert. The deeds, which I've seen, say 2 years. It's been 14 years, so I would suggest we're at great risk. This same group of people recently were able to convince the Humboldt County Association of Governments, HCOG, to belly up some $20,000 towards studying the idea of building a railroad over 299 from Arcata to Reading, or over 36 to Red Bluff. And anybody that knows anything about the terrain that's driven these roads, I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe some sort of a cog railroad, like the Durango to Silverton, you know, line where you have to cog up and over every pass on your way to Reading. Bottom line is, it's a fantasy, and it's the kind of thing that actually, if you've been to Disneyland on the Matterhorn, when you're riding those little sleds up, that's a cog railroad. It's pulling you clunk, 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 clunk up to the top. And so I think of this as people living in the fantasy land instead of reality, and really getting a grip on what we're threatened with losing here if we don't act swiftly to rail bank this entire line.
Well, I'm in complete agreement, and hopefully there'll be some sense coming around the corner at some point in the near future. Emily, let's talk real quick about the Senate Transportation Bill.
Yeah, there was, I think last week, you know, we've been talking about what's going on at the federal level with transportation, and we had talked about some pretty, you know, dire circumstances before, especially with the House bill that has still yet to be passed.
Right.
But a lot of the threat was that a lot of the kind of safe routes to school, transportation enhancement funds, the recreational trails program, these key programs that fund non-motorized transportation and allow kind of non-motorized access, you know, to be really feasible for, you know, local jurisdictions to implement. That was pretty much on the chopping block. And so recently the Senate just adopted their version of the transportation bill with kind of two key amendments that really held on to, you know, funding for safer walking and bicycling. It definitely consolidates more, you know, programs and streamlines some things, but it really does still maintain funding for these programs at existing levels, you know, which, you know, we've shown some numbers with the amount of spending on bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure for the, you know, number of kind of collisions, you know, with cyclists and pedestrians, and shown that the funding spent for the use is really, you know, not equal. But at least this maintains at existing funding levels. Kind of the key thing now is that the House bill really needs a lot of work. And we were talking about that several weeks ago, I think, H.R. 7.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, you know, the Senate has come up with a really, you know, pretty okay transportation bill. It really also kind of establishes some key policy goals and performance measures, you know, for this program, which really weren't incorporated into the transportation bill in the past, you know, mainly to, you know, we want to improve access, you know, to multiple kind of travel modes, and we want to, you know, address congestion. And so fortunately, if you're going to keep those two goals kind of on the front burner, fortunately, there still is funding for those key programs that'll allow, you know, safe non-motorized travel.
Well, it's good that the Senate has seen some sanity there, and hopefully the House will adopt a similar bill.
Yeah, and, you know, the latest extension runs out, you know, at the end of March, so there probably will be, we'll be staying tuned, you know, to future shows. We'll certainly have an update on the House bill and then how these two bills eventually kind of come together.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, before we wrap up, since I was in New York last week, you know, we talked about the High Line on this show like a year or so ago, and now I had a chance to see it in person. You know, speaking of, you know, rails to trails, that is an old rail line that was converted into an extraordinary trail, very heavily used by folks there in New York. I didn't get a chance to ride on it. I so wanted to, but I just didn't have the time. But it was really fantastic. They had bike rentals along the thing as well. Anyway, it's just it's a beautiful thing. It's it actually, they call it the High Line because this was an elevated railroad, and so this is an elevated bike path, which is really kind of cool to see that there in New York. That was on the New York side. On the Brooklyn side, there is a wonderful meandering, very wide bike trail and pedestrian trail all along the East River there on the Brooklyn side. Again, a beautiful, beautiful path. And one of the things that I thought was really great is that in the city, you know, where there's just so much congestion, you'd think it'd be a disaster for bikes and motorized vehicles, but they've got very clearly delineated bike paths there in the city, and it looks pretty darn good. I even got a picture of there's a parking structure. Actually, I saw several parking structures with this so bicycle parking, $1 a day or $20 a month. That was pretty wild there. You know, it's like, you know, parking your car in New York would cost you a fortune. Bike, not too bad for a bike though. Yeah, it was pretty good. So anyway, things are moving along there, and hopefully we'll get up to speed here in Humboldt County as well. I love the vision of the Little River extension for the Hammond Trail. It sounds fantastic. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll give us some new momentum to get another piece built.
Indeed. All right, we are pretty much out of time. Actually, we're over time at this point. Emily, what have we got on the table for next week? Anything at this point?
We will see. As always, something will be fun and exciting.
Yeah.
We are going to be trying to get some folks from Santa Cruz, as there's recently been a rail with trail development, you know, down that way along the coast. That'll be fun to kind of talk with another one of our kind of sister communities on the California coast. So we'll see what comes up next week.
All righty. Well, stay tuned for that. And as always, this conversation you will find shortly podcast at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.